The parables, like myths, are not stories about things that happen only once. Parables from the Gospels or the Hebrew Scriptures or from the Quran or from the Sufi tradition, whatever tradition, are useful teachings and meaning makers because in some fashion they happen over and over again. And because so often we find varied lessons within the same text, we find ourselves there in different points of entry, depending on where we find ourselves in our own lives. Several weeks ago, I wrote about passing a man on my way to work who was holding a sign, "I'm homeless and my children are hungry." I was sitting at the stop sign, and when it changed, I wrote, I drove on. I didn't give him a thing. And in the E! News, I mentioned how ambivalent I felt about my decision. Why did I hesitate to hand him a $20 bill? I had one in my wallet. I had a $5 bill in my wallet, if that felt better. And I mentioned, it's really hard to see need up close and personal. Except, of course, that the jaded side of me wondered if maybe he was pulling a scam. It's possible. Still, it's hard to see that need and take the time in the moment to figure out how to react to someone begging next to your car window, no matter how many times it happens. I suspect it's why the priest and the Levite stayed on the other side of the road, and why I considered driving home a different way so as not to be confronted with a needy soul on my journey. The road in question in today's parable, Jericho Road, that Martin Luther King also spoke about in the reading this morning in his address at the Riverside Church, is a real road. It's a real place. It still exists. He was referencing it metaphorically, I think. And yet, it is a real place. I read recently that Jericho is arguably the oldest city in the world. Situated on a trade route, it has served in its history as a winter resort for rulers and the rich. It is 15 and a half miles between Jericho and Jerusalem. That stretch of road connects them and was a well-known place of danger in the time of Jesus, the route that people traveled to do business back and forth. They might have been transporting goods to Jerusalem for the market, or transporting money in the other direction, having sold them. Perhaps quite unlike Hammond Pond Parkway, which is where I was driving when confronted by the man with the sign, not typically considered a dangerous route to anywhere. I know what King was suggesting in his reading this morning, that it is the institutions of inequality that need dismantling in order to make any road and every road safe, not dissimilar from what he was saying in his letter from the Birmingham jail, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. What struck me this time when I reflected on King's words, and I'm sure it was influenced by my recent experience, was how we choose our journeys in the meantime. Between now and the time that justice is everywhere, when every Jericho Road is a safe place for all, which is likely not in my lifetime, at least, so I have plenty of time to consider, how do we choose the paths we travel in our lives? Before heaven is here on earth, or the beloved community is achieved, how much suffering are we willing to confront? How much risk are we willing to manage? How many Jericho roads, imperfect by definition, are we each willing to travel? Remember that our theme for this month is intention. It seems a good question to ponder in our intention setting at the beginning of this year, 2017. How much safety do we each require? could be physical safety or emotional safety. How willing are we to live at the edges? And how is it we organize our lives accordingly? We don't always have a choice, of course. Sometimes our livelihoods require us to travel to risky places or in risky places. Certainly, life sets challenges before us in myriad ways, like the child who found himself in a new school. Things happen to us that we have to manage because we don't have a choice. Illness, for example, or family discord, financial struggle, or spiritual dis-ease. These are often unknown and risky places, and we don't necessarily choose them. But often we do have a choice, like the three people in our parable having choice as to how to respond to the man on the side of the road. There is often the opportunity in our lives to choose our paths, to travel what we know might be a risky road, sometimes a long and risky road, like helping someone in need and not knowing the consequence, or alternatively, to choose what we imagine will be a safer route home, the shortcut, the predictable, like keeping our windows rolled up. What is your inclination? Forget actually having to decide whether to help anyone. Are we even willing to put ourselves on the risky path? I keep coming back to my story about the man with the sign because it's one that I suspect many of us can relate to. How often do we walk or drive by needy people in this city? Or even in this church? I actually thought about driving a different way home that day. After I passed the man with the sign, instead, I put a $20 bill in my cup holder. And sure enough, the next morning on the way to work, he was there. So I stopped and handed it to him. I watched him look at it and express surprise. "Thanks," he said, and I drove away. They're not the same. Helping someone beaten down, taking them to safety, checking back another day, covering the costs, versus handing somebody a $20 bill by the side of the road. But they are choices in a similar vein. What, if anything, are we willing to do for another? And how will we know if we never put ourselves in the situation that requires us to choose? It's likely we do have the capacity to avoid most of the Jericho roads that we might travel. Many of us have that privilege. We can choose the shortcut and avoid the risks. But at what cost? To the other, yes, but also to ourselves. There is something imminent about an unknown journey that, if we are willing to engage with, has much to teach us. The place of encounter is a place of vulnerability and opportunity. We are in a curious time in our country right now, relative to the unknown, with many roads ahead and likely many choices to make. In a way, the next 4 years begin on Friday. I want to share part of an article I read recently by CBS newsman Dan Rather, an unlikely religious resource, perhaps, but useful nonetheless. The title, "Now is a Time When None of Us Can Afford to Remain Seated or Silent." He says, "Our Declaration of Independence bequeaths us our cherished foundational principle. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." He continues, "These truths may be self-evident, but they are not self-replicating. Each generation has to renew these vows. This nation was founded as an opposite pole to the capriciousness of an authoritarian monarch. We set up institutions like a free press and an independent court system to protect our fragile rights." he continues, we have survived through bloody spasms of a civil war and a civil rights movement to extend more of these rights to more of our citizens. But the direction of our ship of state has not always been one of progress. We interned Japanese Americans, red-baited during the McCarthy era, and more. I feel the riptide of regression once again swelling under my feet, but I intend to remain standing. I intend to remain standing, he says, rather than sitting this one out or watching silently from the sidelines or taking the shortcut home. I intend, rather, says, to remain proverbially standing. This choice is akin to choosing the Jericho Road with all its unknown risks and dangers. And here's a truth. I want to be standing like that too. I want to be braver. In these days, I want to be bolder. And I wonder if you do too. I don't want to think twice about opening my window to someone in need. I don't want to live with that kind of uncertainty. Marian Wright Edelman's words come to mind, of course. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. I don't want to be afraid of my power anymore. I want to put it to good use. It begs the question, of course, why? In the parable, the lawyer is asking what one must do to gain eternal life. I suspect many of us as Unitarian Universalists are not necessarily worried about eternal life, though I can't be sure for each of you. What feels more compelling to me than my eternal life is what I can be doing for yours right now, in this life. I watched a TEDx recently with psychologist and science journalist Daniel Goleman. It was called, Why Aren't We All Good Samaritans? You can see why it caught my attention. Goleman says that new neuroscience research suggests that our human default wiring is to help each other, that we have mirror neurons that incline us to empathy, but that we don't always respond accordingly because we are often preoccupied and don't fully notice the other. Maybe the priest and the Levite simply didn't notice. We are victims, he says, of a system that points us elsewhere. Where does it point us then? We know. We are victims of a system that points us to more is better, mine should be best, a focus on what my friend Diane used to say, my needs, my goals. We are victims of a system that says safety at all costs for us and ours, don't worry about the rest, and in support of an economy that prizes self-satisfaction. It is a system that too often leaves the vulnerable sidelined and out in the cold. So let's stop being victims. Let's stick to the long and uncertain road. Let's not take the easy route. If anything is going to change that proverbial Jericho road, it will be our presence on it. Our continued and committed presence on the long road that most people in this life travel, good people, not so good people, happy people, sad people, needy and wanting people. Let's stay on that road. That is the road, I think, where they're standing on the side of love, right? We had a concert here last Friday, this past Friday night, where the vocalist, James Dargan, sang a short piece. I think this is what it's called. If not, it's the words I heard. Love is a weary noun. Oh my, I thought. That is a poignant observation. The word gets used so much, but the actions it inspires, those are up to us. If your love is weary and in need of respite, by all means, rest. Restore yourselves. Find your rhythm and your balance again. There must be rest for the weary sometimes. And there will be many on the road, that long road, ready to welcome you when the choice feels right. Our chalice lighting this morning came to us from former UUA President Bill Schultz, who also reminds us that the divine for us as Unitarian Universalists, whatever it in essence be for each independently, is not confined to a transcendent realm, its ramparts guarded by the scholarly elite. On the contrary, the holy is made manifest to every one of us in the transactions of the everyday. It lies curled, in other words, he says, in the very bosom of our experience. Every lesson, then, is holy. Every encounter, every effort, maybe the riskier, the holier, because they require that much more of us. Victims no more. We can be in this bold era, this uncertain time, choosing the path that both challenges and teaches us, that calls us to take our weary loves and put them to good use in the service of the holy every day. I hope you will travel with me on that long road home. I also hope you will sing with me our closing hymn. We are practicing this month, Standing on the Side of Love. We tried it last week. We're going to do it again this week and one more time next week. We are committing ourselves to this music. Our closing hymn, number 1014, Standing on the Side of Love. So may it be.